Waikiki Health's Youth's Outreach Program, known as YO, has been gathering empirical evidence for years about the lives of homeless and runaway youth in Hawaii. But now it has more to go on. It has the numbers. The statistics gathered in the first study of its kind since the 80s tell us much about cycles of abuse and addiction and about the everyday lives of unaccompanied homeless youth. Kent Anderson is Waikiki Health's Chief High-Risk Services Officer and oversees Waikiki Health's Youth Outreach, PATH Clinic, and HIV programs. We spoke with him about the study.
The numbers of the study really tell us a lot. Some of it's verifying things we knew, and some of it's telling us things that, hey, we hadn't really thought about that. Mm-hmm. For example, one of the biggest things that this report quantifies is, as we've been trying to say, our kids on the streets who are homeless, generally they're the victims of abuse, whether mm-hmm. it be physical, sexual, emotional, a lot on the physical and the sexual side. So this report showed that over 75% of the kids actually are the victims of abuse. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, if you get to understand the psychology of someone who's been abused, oftentimes they're not even willing to admit to it. So there are certain things in this report that we're pretty confident are underreported.
There could even be a greater number.
We assume this one's actually higher. Mm-hmm. But one thing that we are intentional to do is to not guide the respondents, and to not, even if we knew an answer was wrong, mm-hmm. if we've had personal experience with this youth that, hey, we know something's happening in this area, we purposely just recorded the answers of the youth so that there would be no bias and that there would be no mm-hmm. incorrect data, basically trying to keep the integrity of the research. So the abuse is definitely one thing that really jumped out from the data. Another thing that jumped out from the data is these kids are coming from really unstable backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Over half of the kids' parents had substance abuse issues of their own. Over half of the kids' parents were incarcerated. About 40% of the kids had an interaction with the foster care community. And what that shows is that these kids, there's this connection between family instability and life on the streets, and that if we can't provide, as a community, better family stability, we're going to continue to have more and more kids on the streets.
There's a social fabric that has existed for generations that's torn here.
Very much so. And truthfully, I don't know if families in crisis are getting the level of support. Well, the data would suggest they're not getting the level of support that they would benefit from to try to help prevent intergenerational types of homelessness or cycles of issues and cycles of problems.
Mm-hmm. Certainly with abuse, we've seen cyclical recurrence if the abused child becomes an abuser.
Yes.
Frequently, one of the figures that really jumped out at me was the number of these homeless kids on the street who themselves want to have children. What do you think's behind that?
So the research showed that about 30% of the kids currently have had a child. And actually, national research has said that 50% of street youth have had a pregnancy experience.
We're talking about teenagers.
Yes, we're talking, well, generally 14 to 22 is usually mm-hmm. the age range that they're looking mm-hmm. at. But the majority of that, or at least a large percentage of that, would be teenagers.
Pretty young kids. Yeah.
Yes. And those numbers actually match pretty well, because if you look at that national 50%, that would include actual pregnancies, that would include miscarriages, that would include abortions. Mm-hmm. So this, in our local study, 30% actually had the child. That's a huge number of kids, and there's many reasons for it. One of the biggest reasons that we've seen is a lot of these youth, they're just longing for a healthy relationship. They have been the victims of abuse. They've struggled with so much family strife, and that's not just direct family, that's extended family. Mm-hmm. And in their community, they don't feel loved and they don't feel welcomed. So for some, they see a baby as this chance to have this loving, close relationship that can really fill that void in their heart. For other youth, particularly some of the young women, they definitely see this opportunity to, in their mind, hook on to a guy. They think, hey, if I get pregnant, I'll have him forever and we can get married.
You'll have a family life stabilized.
A stable family life of our own. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, as we know, generally, especially with younger kids, if a young woman gets pregnant, it's more likely that the man runs away in these situations than mm-hmm. the man actually sticks around. So we actually work intensively with these youth to try to help educate them that that is not the reality and that that's not a solution. And then you have other issues to where, for example, young women will trade their bodies, and young men, honestly, it's both. Mm-hmm. Young men and women will trade their bodies for things they need to survive, places to sleep, things like that. And that can definitely lead to pregnancy experiences as well. One of the things I'm proud to say that we've been trying to do at Waikiki Health is we've been really trying to put a lot of effort into pregnancy prevention programs and really trying to break this cycle, because I think we all agree kids on the streets should not be having kids. And if we don't directly intervene, we are not – what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, basically. So we're trying to do some different things. And the great news for us is we've been getting great results on pregnancy prevention with this new federal project that we've been working on. And one thing that's not known is a lot of these kids that we've been building these relationships on the pregnancy prevention side, we're actually helping them get housed. More than half of the kids we've served so far, we've gotten off the streets and get housed as we're simultaneously helping them prevent unwanted pregnancies.
There's so many fronts on which you have to move simultaneously to give these kids a better life. And one thing I have to wonder about, Kent, is, you know, the desire to have a child to fill a void in the heart, as mm-hmm. that you described, and yet at the same time, they're bringing kids into a world that, for them, is not much of a world. And I wonder if that, you know, what they think about that. You know, do they want to bring kids into the world that they experience day to day? Obviously, the desire to have a kid trumps that, but
that's a very deep, complicated question, to be blunt, and it differs for each youth. But
sure.
I will tell you, from our experience, that's one of the reasons we really believe that you need to have intensive intervention with relationship building. A lot of the work mm-hmm. that we do at Youth Outreach is really trying to create these deep, lasting, trusting relationships with the youth. And through that aspect, try to remind them, hey, there is a better future ahead. There are opportunities. You can still dream. There's things to reach for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just trying to survive from a day-to-day basis, which a lot of these kids are in daily survival mentality. By building those trusting relationships and layering in, as the trust is developed, education, options, opportunities, linkage to resources, many of these kids, they realize, hey, I do want something different for my future. And yes, I might want to have a child, but I don't necessarily want to have that child now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one thing that people might forget is these kids on the streets care just as much about themselves and their potential children as anyone else would. They're just dealing with a whole world of strife and struggles to where sometimes they're so focused on just today.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what our intensive work does, is it helps our youth focus on their longer-term goals as we get them housed, we get them stable, and we get them set up for success.
Are they a forgotten population?
This youth, street youth homelessness has been a very much forgotten generation or forgotten group. It's kind of interesting. They even have terms like throwaway youth. Just by even having the term throwaway youth,
kidding,
that is pretty much saying by definition that these are people who are just being thrown away, for example. The good news is there is starting to be some more attention. There's actually even starting to be some more resources that are starting to be dedicated to this population. But I can tell you, like about a decade ago, I was actually the chair of Partners in Care, which is the continuum of all homeless providers.
Right.
I can tell you from that level, knowing, having a pretty good beat on the pulse, just 10 years ago, this population wasn't really being talked about much. There was Youth Outreach was talking about it, but they mm-hmm. didn't really have a very loud voice at the table, in all sincerity. I would say over the last two, 3 years, there's starting to be more attention, and federally, as you probably know, there was really attention on addressing veteran homelessness, and then there's intention on family homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, and we've made real progress in those areas. And currently, there's more and more attention starting to be given to unaccompanied youth and domestic violence. And one of the great things that have happened, and just happened a few months ago, is for the first time last year, there were some federal resources that went directly to housing vouchers for unaccompanied youth, youth on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of skepticism. Will this work? Will this not work? Will these kids actually go into housing? In the last, I don't know, about 4 months, there's been about 20 kids who've gotten off the streets, and actually I think it's more than 20 kids, who have gotten into housing using these housing vouchers. And in a few months, there's going to be more of those vouchers coming on board here in Hawaii. So we're thrilled that these resources are starting to come into place and that we're starting to get data, because that was one of the challenges historically. there just wasn't a whole lot of validated data that people could look at to say, oh, this really is an issue.
Are you finding reasons for optimism?
I think there's always reasons for optimism. I think there's a lot of work ahead of us, but the fact that, as I said, over 20 kids have gotten off the streets into housing of their own, and that doesn't even take into consideration the fact that we're constantly working at family reunification. We're constantly looking at, hey, maybe there's somebody else in the community or even foster care system. There are multiple areas that you can actually get kids off the street. To me, that's the goal, is getting the kids off the street, because the streets are not a healthy place to be. There's more than that, but that's the first goal, is getting them off the streets and setting them up with support and love and nourishing emotional support as well as physical support. Because I don't want us to kid ourselves, just getting somebody off the street and plopping them in housing, that does not consistently work. Even the housing first models, we talk about the housing, but people forget there's this wraparound support, because a lot of these kids, they're young, and they haven't been taught some of the basic tools that most of us were taught on just how to live on their own. And they were thrown in a world where they had to survive on their own before they were ready, and they've adapted and they've learned things to get that daily survival mode, but it prevents some of their long-term goals. Case in point, let's say you've never trusted an adult in your life because you've been abused. How are you really going to be a good employee if you just refuse, if you have a hard time trusting and listening to what your boss tells you to do? So it takes this retraining, this relearning, this support to try to really help maximize their potential and set them up for long-term success.
Kent Anderson is Waikiki Health's Chief High-Risk Services Officer and oversees Waikiki Health's Youth Outreach, PATH Clinic, and HIV programs. You can find the link to the full report on our Facebook page.